You can turn with me to John chapter 15 for a second. In the time remaining, I thought it'd be interesting to look at three terms we find there. And as so far the things that I've heard in this conference bring these things to my mind and heart to share. The brothers in my local assembly, I would ask your forgiveness if you've heard me say these things before, but John chapter 15 is an interesting chapter, and I'd just like to read it very quickly, the first part of it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I just want to look at some, I'm not going to go through this in any great detail, but there's just some interesting points. One is the Lord tells us to abide in him. And if you look at the word abide in him, sometimes we have the saying that there's a difference between a house and a home. And this is the sense that the Lord wants us to get in our hearts. He wants us to abide with him. He doesn't want us to live in a house. He wants to live with him in a home. A home is a cozy place. I live in a house where we have a wood stove. We have the meetings at my place on Wednesday nights, and it's often been commented how cozy my home is when people come in because the wood stove is going on a cold winter night. And that's a nice feeling. Any of us who have wood stoves know that feeling, the nice coziness that only a wood stove can bring on cold winter nights. Well, this is what the Lord wants us to be at home with him, to be comfortable, and if I can use the term, to be cozy with the Lord. Some of us from a more background where we're not so urbanized, we know what it means to be cozy with someone, you know, to be comfortable with them, to be able to share with them and talk with them about things perhaps that we couldn't share with someone else. This is the relationship that the Lord wants you and I to be in, to be cozy with, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, we have to look at those things that keep us from being cozy with the Lord. And in my heart, there's certain things, and in your heart, there's certain things that keep us from being cozy with the Lord. And those things we have to take before him and deal with. It was mentioned before that if we sin, we have that wonderful provision of God that we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of these things. And that's a wonderful thing that we as Christians have. We have many things that the world can't even enter into, and that's another blessing that we can have in these things. But apart from that, there's that wonderful thing that he speaks about branches. And branches are good for two things. And we find this in the scripture in this chapter. One is for fruit bearing, and the other is fire burning. Now, it's fruit bearing, and the reason is how it can do that is because a branch is basically a vessel. It has channels through which the sap flows from the roots up and into it, and on the end of these things. Many of us have seen fruit, but the first thing comes the flower. Some of us live in Nova Scotia. We know the Apple Blossom Festival is the big thing there. And they make a big do about all the apple blossoms, and they're very beautiful things to see. And it's a wonderful time, and they have a parade and the princess, and it becomes a big ceremony. There's not so much of a ceremony, however, when the fruit is born, because then they're always looking for people to pick it. And the fruit trees don't look as beautiful because they're laden down with apples. But yet, it's the more important thing to have is the apples than the petals. You can't eat apple petals. I mean, you could if you tried, but it wouldn't give you much sustenance. But yet, which one of us here has not enjoyed a really good apple? Some of us have our favorite apples, Delicious or Gravenstein or things like that. But an apple is good. It tastes good and it's delicious. But it's only good if it gets the right nourishment from the ground and the right amount of rain and all these things. But they all come through that branch and produce that fruit for you and I to eat. And the Lord speaks of us as a branch, as a channel for these things. And once again, we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, if I am a branch, is there anything that's hindering the flow of the sap comes to the fruit that I am to produce? And when you think about fruit, we think of a physical, tangible thing, like I say, peaches or apples or even strawberries and things like that are the fruit that we think of in our head. But I want to look for a second in the book of Galatians chapter 5, because this is the fruit I believe the Lord is speaking of. Galatians chapter 5, and I know we all know these verses, but it's interesting to look at them in the context of this. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now the wonder of these is that it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit, the singular fruit. And I believe there's a reason for that, is because they are all found in the person of the Lord Jesus. This, if you were to describe the Lord Jesus and the characters and attitudes that he has, is a very fair estimation of who he is in person. He is love. He is joy. In fact, he speaks of these things. He offers the disciples peace in John chapter 14 before that. But in this chapter, he speaks of his joy, and he offers them his joy. And he says, my joy you can have. And it's not just a joy that we sometimes get when we get a new thing, or let's say as a parent, when our children are born, you know, we find joy in that, or joy in whatever we find joy in. It's a heavenly joy, and it's entirely different than that thing, because we can have joy through the worst of trials and tribulations. We can still experience this wonderful joy that he gives us. And you think of that, it tells us in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It sounds like an awful contradiction. Here's the Lord going to the cross, but yet he could do that with a joy. I know in my heart that's certainly not one thing that I would entertain, is the thoughts of joy, especially if I was unsaved, of going to the cross and suffering like that. But we know that that wonderful joy that he gives us is knowing that he's in heaven and we shall soon be with him to be like him. And we shall see him as he is. And that's a resounding joy in our hearts. But the fruit of the Spirit for you and I is the evidence that we are cozy with Christ. And the amount of fruit that we bear shows the amount of coziness we have with Christ. The more we're familiar with him, the more we allow him to work in our lives and do the things that he has to do in our lives. And it's not always pleasant. There are times when he must come in and work things in our lives that perhaps we might rebel against and find distasteful. But he still has to do it because he loves and cares for us. And each one of us has probably been in that situation. But the wonder of it all is that we bear fruit. And the fruit is not, if you look through this, I believe, the fruit is not what we do. The fruit is who we are, or who we become under Christ's hand. And that's the beauty of it. Fruit is not the work that we do. It's who we are. And I was sharing with a brother today, the one thing that struck my heart and mind as we went through the book that we're doing in the reading this morning, is that it kind of boils down to that. Who Christ is and who we are in Christ. That's the whole essence of Ephesians. That's if we get a good grasp on both of those things, who Christ is and who we are. It really, and I use this term, it really makes it difficult to go astray if we firmly grasp those two things. It's a wonderful truth that he puts in us who we are. We are the sons of God, made so by adoption. Because of that precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary, we've been redeemed. And for some wonderful reason that God only knows, through his marvelous grace, we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been changed. We've been made able to become a creature of heaven who was once a creature of earth. It's a wonderful thing. And you think about that in the context of these verses. And it tells us that in verse 8, and this is what the verse that kind of strikes me. Herein is my Father glorified, that you do a lot of work, that you read your Bible, that you pray, that you go to meeting. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says that you bear much fruit, that you become like me. You show forth that character, meekness, humility, love for your fellow man and for your brethren. That's what glorifies the Father more than anything. Tell you the truth and a little thing about myself. There's nothing more fired up than a Black Baptist gospel meeting. I don't know if any of you have ever been to one. As far as emotions and a rollicking good time, they have it. And I stand before you now to tell you that I wrote a dozen songs for this gospel meeting that praised the Lord to the high heavens, and I was as unsaved as anyone else. But yet I wrote those songs and they sang them, and if you compared those songs to any other songs they sang, there was no difference. And I say that to illustrate the fact that you and I can do many things. Some of the things we do even in the flesh for the sake of God. But yet the one thing that we cannot hide is how much we are like Him. We can do many things. We can hand out tracts. We can preach the gospel even. Although I have my doubts about that. But there's many things that we can do that can mask the fact that we are not gods. But one of the things that He calls us to do, and what He's glorified in the most, is that we bear much fruit. The next verse says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's how we show the life of Christ, is it not? That we continue in his love. And one of the other points that I quickly want to go through here, the difference between, it says verse 15, one of the things I kind of enjoy, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The beauty of being a friend is you can share things one with another. You can share the confidence of one another. And the other thing is that you do the things you do because you love that one person. You don't do it out of obedience. You're not a slave. You're not told to do it. You usually do it because you love and you care enough for that person to do it. As far as fruit and works go, how many of you have ever heard an apple tree? Nobody? Oh, it's a wonderful thing to hear. I hear. I've never heard one either. But that's the beauty of fruit. You don't hear fruit being produced. And as I look around you, I have no idea what work the Lord is doing in your life, and nor do you have in my life. But I know He's working. And we don't usually blow bugles at the things that he does. In fact, most of it's born very quietly. Well, that's the difference between fruit, but works are usually accompanied with some sound or much action. And you can see that because that's what it's sort of called, work. It'd be nice to have a job that you could say, well, I work all day and all I do is sit there and get paid. But that's not the reality. Most of us work. Some of us work very hard for the money we get. And it's very evident that this is the work we do. Fruit is born without any noticeable effort. Like I say, once again, you don't see a lot of what God is doing in our lives. You might see the emotions that come from that. But works require energy and motion in order to be done. And this is another one of those strange things. When have you ever seen an apple tree feed itself from its fruit? You don't see that. Fruit is never born for the owner. Fruit is always born for someone else. And that's why the Lord says this to us, that we love, that we give, because that's what fruit is all about. That's what he did, was it not? The Lord came down to do nothing for himself, but for us, for the entire world. The Father loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. There was nothing selfish in the Lord. What delights the Father is, it tells us in Romans 8:29, that we be conformed to the image of his Son in all things, that we resemble Christ in character and attitude. Fruit can only be produced by a good tree, but works can be produced by anyone. Fruit partakes of the nature of the tree, probably the most important one. But works, once again, can be done by anyone and not bear any resemblance to the nature of that person whatsoever. Work speaks of what we do, but fruit speaks of who we are. And it's the Father's great delight that we be like Christ. Works represent our conduct, in a sense, who we are with one another, the way we speak, the way we do things, the way we act. But fruit represents character. Works, I suppose we can call our employment, but fruit is our enjoyment, because that's what betrays the most, I trust, is our enjoyment of Christ, our enjoyment of the one who planted that seed in our heart, the one that waters it, the one that helps it grow, the one that desires in us more than anything that we would bear fruit, so his Father would be glorified, that we'd be more and more like him in all the things that we say, and all the things that we do. I know a brother who works with wood, and I'm sure I haven't spoke to him about this, but what I can gather is he goes out and he seeks out certain branches to perform this certain things. He makes furniture. And he looks for certain branches, no doubt, that have a certain pliable character and a bendable character to do the things that he requires of them. And he cuts them off, and he does the work with them. And I'm sure he meets with frustration sometimes because those branches perhaps that he had chosen for a certain characteristic perhaps don't conform to that when it comes to the final work. So I'm sure it frustrates him, but what does he do with those branches? They're useless now. They've been cut. He puts them in the fire and burns them. Useless. So I just leave us with those wonderful thoughts, I trust, that you and I are branches that God has established, God has cared for, with the sole purpose of bearing fruit, the sole purpose of becoming more and more like his Son, and being like him in word and thought and deed as an active part, but only active of what we are in our hearts, the reflection of his Son, the Lord Jesus.